Good morning, church. How are you this morning? Amen. Well, welcome to church. Great to see you this morning. And of course, Resurrection Sunday, all across the world, we celebrate the death and, of course, today, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved except by the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, it's so nice to see you and really excited about the kids doing their Easter egg hunt a little bit later on. That's going to be lots of fun for all our kids. Just a reminder also, you would have seen on Live Update so that you can plan ahead, and that is next Sunday. We go back to our three-service Sundays. Three services have worked really well in our church, and giving people an option in the morning, 8:30, 10:30, and of course 5:30. It's been a blessing, and so, and of course, periodically, as we've done in the last couple of weeks, we have our combined AMs, so we'll be having a whole heap of those later on in a couple of months' time, but next Sunday, 8:30, 10:30, and of course, 5:30, I'm preaching on Sunday morning next week. I'll be going back to the book of Nehemiah, and I'll be preaching a sermon called Charred Stones, and so that's going to be a real blessing to you. And, of course, Action Jackson at night time next week. Who loves Jackson? Yeah, he's a very cool youth pastor. All right. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God today. And this morning, we're going to continue with our train of thought from Friday's message, Good Friday. Who was blessed on Good Friday? Who enjoyed worshiping the Lord? And by the way, it's so good to see so many new people in our guest lounge. It's been very, very cool, right, Deb? And I think half of our church, I estimate, is South African. Anointing comes with association. That's all I'll say. Greg said to me, one of our board members, that he thinks half of the church is New Zealanders, because he says the intellectual level in the church is so high. Well, I beg to differ. I think there's a lot of biltong eating people in our church. We're here this morning. Can I have a good amen? Oh, there's a few of us today. They didn't support me on that one. But anyway, the Lord knows my heart. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come around the Word of God today. Thank you that your Word is real. Thank you that your Word is truth. Thank you that your Word is life. Ask that you would speak to us. Pray that you would strengthen us today as we reflect on our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask for that in his wonderful name. Amen. You know, I think one of the greatest qualities you can have in your life is to be a person of initiative. I love people who show initiative. People who show initiative are resourceful, they are resilient. I'm talking to some of them this morning. They're determined, they are energetic. There's no doubt about it that if you want to be a better worker, it requires initiative. If you want to further your career, it requires that you become a person of initiative. If you really like that girl, it's not going to happen by some coincidence of some sort. You got to invite her out for coffee, and it requires you to take initiative. If you want to improve your health, it requires initiative. If you want to better your finances, it requires initiative. If you want to take up that hobby, photography, painting, writing, it all requires you to be a person of initiative. Anytime you learn something new, it requires your initiative. Alison and I were talking last night about questions when you go for a job interview. And one of the most common questions when you go for a job interview is, give me an example of a time where you showed initiative. The Bible speaks a lot about initiative. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, it says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. God himself is an initiator. In the beginning, God created. He initiated. Can you say amen? Jesus, right throughout the Gospels, we see him initiating, reaching out to people, healing people, touching people, setting people free. He is an initiator. This morning, we are going to read a couple of verses. First up, just one verse of where Jesus initiated a thought with his disciples. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. And we're going to see how Jesus initiated a conversation with his disciples. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. If you don't have your Bibles, the verse is available for you on the screen. Are you ready? So Jesus initiates a conversation, and look at what he says. From that time, Jesus began to show or explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Now watch what's happening. He's telling them, explaining to them about his death and, of course, his resurrection. So watch what he does. Look at the level of detail. He says, I'm going to be going to Jerusalem. I'm telling you the location. He then goes on to say, and suffer many things. So he's telling them, I'm telling you where I'm going. I'm telling you that I'm about to suffer. And he also tells us who the perpetrators would be. He says many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Now, how many of you know this is kind of detailed here? If I said to you, I'm going to a particular location, I would suffer. These are the people who are going to bring this harm to me. And eventually I tell you, and I will be killed. How many of you know that's kind of as clear as it can get, right? So Jesus gives them clear, precise, specific information so that they would not be surprised when it actually happens. Come on, you with me this morning, church? In fact, the New Living Translation says, he told his disciples plainly. This is clear, people. This is precise. This is specific. And it goes on to say, and be raised on the third day. This is information that you can't mix words. This is kind of painted as clearly as it can be. This is not going through the McDonald's drive-thru and getting confused. This is small fries, Coke, and a cheeseburger. You know exactly what has been said. Now, we know the story. Jesus is crucified, and Jesus dies. He's in the tomb. And of course, on the third day, exactly as he said, he is raised from the dead. Amen? Now, the women, God bless the women, they come early in the morning to bring spices. They're coming to have a devotional time and to reflect on the life of Jesus. Well, they come to the tomb on the third day. They get there and they find the stone rolled away. They go into the tomb. They cannot find the body of Jesus. And they see two angels in shining, bright garments. They know this is a supernatural visitation because you'll read in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24. They fall on their knees knowing that this is an angelic visitation. And the angels say to them, why are you searching for the living amongst the dead? Now, this is clear. Stone rolled away, no body in the tomb, angelic visitation, a clear word. Why are you searching for the living amongst the dead? They even take it to the next level and say to these women, let me kind of just make it plain to you. He is not here. He is in fact risen. Now let's pick up the story. Luke chapter 24, verse 9. Then they return from the tomb, that is these women, And they told all these things to the 11 disciples, the 11 apostles, and to all the rest. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna. These are the women that I'm talking about. Come on, ladies, are you in the house this morning? Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now look at the response of these amazing men of God. Verse 11. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. The women are excited. The women have got faith. The women have had a supernatural experience. But the men? This is nonsense. So they didn't believe it. Now watch what's happening. None of these men expected a resurrection. Now let's do the math. Stone rolled away, plus empty tomb, plus angelic visitation, and a clear specific word about him rising from the dead equals a resurrection. But to the men, for them, their mass is, this must be a made-up story of some sort. In fact, it's nonsense. Somebody must have stolen the body. These men were given clear instructions. We read about it in the book of Matthew. But when it came time for them to believe in the resurrection, how many of you know these men are on another wavelength? They did not listen to the instructions that were given to them in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus made it very clear. He told them the location. He told them who the people would be. He would suffer harm. He would be killed. And he would rise again on the third day. But when the time came to actually believe it, this is absolute nonsense. In other words, they're saying, we are unable to comprehend the reality of what these women had seen, experienced, what they were trying to convey. Their experience with Jesus is, he was crucified, he died. In fact, he said, it is finished, and his body was placed in a tomb, finished. We've got a problem here, because these disciples are supposed to be the disciples. Come on, church, don't switch off on Resurrection Sunday. These are supposed to be the disciples that would take the message of the resurrection to the world, people's lives impacted, the birth of the church, the spread of the gospel, but they don't believe it. What do you do when your faith does not match up to the facts? What do you do when something supernatural has actually happened and God has taken the initiative to bring you on this journey, but yet I'm disappointed, I'm down, I'm discouraged because I thought that things would happen a certain way, and it hasn't happened in the way that we thought, even though these women have come and they've told us about their amazing experience. We think it's nonsense. So what does God do? Because these are the chosen disciples who would bring the message of the gospel to the globe. But they have said, it's nonsense. And you can't have the gospel, you can't have lives changed, you can't have the birth of the church if he's still in the grave. Talk about a rescue mission. Talk about hard hearts. Talk about, did we really choose the right people here? Come on, Gabriel, something's wrong with these 11 men. Now, Jesus has walked with these men for 3.5 years, hasn't he, church? I mean, these men have seen the most amazing miracles. They've seen the man walk on water. They've seen the man raise others from the dead. They've seen Jesus take 5 loaves, 2 fish, multiply it, 20,000 plus people supernaturally fed by the power of God. They were there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. They were there in a boat when he spoke to the storm and he said, "Peace, be still." Suddenly there was calm. They were there in all of those experiences. And in fact, they were all there when he said, "On the third day, guys, I'm going to rise again." We got a conflict here. We need the gospel to go across the earth. We need the message of Jesus to touch lives, because people are going to end up in a Christless eternity if these people don't rise to the occasion as God had planned for the gospel to spread. We are now on a rescue mission. I got to tell you something, church, about the grace of God this morning. I've got to tell you something about the goodness of God this morning. Because you have been taught that God will only operate according to your faith. And if God only operated according to their faith, come on, we're in trouble here, people. If God only operated according to their level of expectation, this is nonsense. Nonsense is kind of a strong word, isn't it? We're finished. All over, Red Rover. Close down the cafe. Let's go home. But yet in all of their unbelief, we see a God who is committed to us, and he operates far greater than our own faith or understanding. And we see God, the initiator. Amen. If God operated on my lack of faith, oh boy, I'm in trouble. If God operated only on my strength, I got to tell you, there's lots of times when I've been weak. If God only operated on my level of understanding, that's not good. Come on, church. God goes above and beyond. He's the good shepherd, and he has to take these people from a place of unbelief, from nonsense, to believing and experiencing that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. You may be weak today. You may be feeling distant from the purposes of God. Well, let me introduce you today to Jesus, to God, the initiator. He's initiating circumstances. He's initiating all kinds of movement that we are maybe unaware of to get you to a place where you will believe. Could it be that God is always more ready to hear than we to pray? Could it be God is doing more in our circumstances than we will ever understand? Church, it's called the grace of God. Could it be God's work in us is far greater and certain than our expectation? Because if it was all based on my faith, my ability, my understanding, I'm going to tell you, I am in trouble. But I thank God for his amazing grace. I thank God that he is the initiator and he knows where I'm at, and he's the good shepherd, and he comes and he takes me on a journey to a place of belief. Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, "I will answer them before," here we go. Oh, this is going to mess with you today. Because you thought it was all about you. "I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs." Oh, here we go now, church. Can you see the grace of God in operation? Can you see the goodness of God reaching out to us today? God, the initiator. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead. Oh, thank you, Lord. And answer their, that is you, answer their prayers. These men are distant. They're in a place of unbelief, but yet they were chosen by God to be the carriers of the gospel. What do you do when they're supposed to be here, but they're kind of over here? There's a chasm. There's a problem. And we see God, the initiator, reaching out to us in our unbelief, in our doubts, in our fear, in our misunderstanding, to take us on a journey from one place to another so that we would see him as the God that he is and believe in the resurrection. Last night, Alison and I were talking about when we planted a church in Perth. We had so many students who came to know the Lord. So many students who had a personal experience with Jesus. And just a few weeks ago, Pastor Alison and her mum were in Singapore, and Alison did a bit of a tour through New Creation Church in Singapore, Pastor Joseph Prince's church, and they had an opportunity to catch up with some of these students who would come to Perth, these international students, to study, and they did a big dinner with them. And there was one particular girl by the name of Adeline who gave her heart to God in this church plant that we had. And she caught up with her, Alison caught up with her, a whole heap of them for dinner. And years later, she's serving in the local church and she's being a blessing to others. And she started to tell us the story, or tell Alison the story, of how she actually came to faith. And at 8 years of age, she was invited to a church in Singapore and went along to Sunday school with her mom and experienced the just something in her heart. But kind of as the months and years rolled on, got to teenage years, Singaporeans love their study. And she legitimately said that. She goes, so much study, we just stopped going to church. Years later, she moves to Perth as an international student. And we see God, the initiator. She's meant to be here, but she's actually over here. That seed that was sown in her heart back then when she was 8 years of age started to germinate. The breath of God came, started to breathe life. At university, she kept bumping into Christians all the time. Who knows what I'm talking about? Come on, somebody. She'd go to this class, there's a Christian. She'd talk to the other international students late at night time. They're all Christians. They'd have deep conversations about the Trinity. That's what she said. Very deep. And they would talk about the things of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Non-believer. But God the initiator is surrounding her with his grace, just like he did once to you. Amen. Oh, come on, that's a poor response. Just like he did once to you. Well, the friends kept talking about God, and she thought, maybe I should go and check out their church. She comes along to church one Sunday, Pastor Jared's song lady, and she said something happened in her heart. She said tears welled up in her eyes during the worship because she knew that she needed what these people were singing about. They were worshiping an amazing God, but not on that day. God kept initiating, pouring out his love to Adeline, pouring out his grace, pointing her towards Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Two Sundays, Pastor Jared's song leading, tears well up in her eyes because she starts to feel the presence of God. Third Sunday, if you don't know Jesus today, today you can. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. Bible says if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. Psh, she puts up her hand. She makes a commitment to Christ. Well, she has an encounter with God. Her life has changed. She reaches out to her family, God the initiator. And her mum comes to Christ. And on the day she gets baptized, her mum also gets baptized. How good is that? God, in his grace, initiating. Church, this love that we are talking about today is not about what I have done. It's not about all the things I need to be. This is a love that has taken all of the initiative. Philippians says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure." The word works is the Greek word energio, from where we get the English word energy from. He is the one who's giving you the energy to outwork the purposes of God. He is the ultimate initiator. Can you say amen? I love this verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Are you ready this morning? Oh, there's a great verse. John says, we have, what does it say, church? Known. Now, this is going to just mess with our minds today, this verse. We have known and believe the love that God has for us. Watch the order. This is how we would write it if a Pentecostal was writing this. You want me to show you? We have believed and known the love that God has for us. But John says, I've known, and as a result of knowing, I came to belief. It's like this, because I can see you're lost. There's a certain coffee shop you go to every week. Because it's dependable, it's reliable, the coffee tastes good. Come on, somebody. There's a restaurant that you like because your experience has led you to an action. Amen. John says, I've experienced his love. I can tell you it's reliable. I can tell you it's dependable. I can tell you it's amazing. I can tell you he loves you so much. I have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. Can you say amen? The fact is, faith may lead to knowledge, but knowledge may also lead to faith. Amen? Knowledge can lead to faith. Here's the disciples. Their faith is over here. They need to be located over here. What does Jesus do? The Bible says by showing them in the book of Acts, many infallible proofs. I am alive. I do love you. I do care for you. I'm reaching out to you. You've been chosen by me. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you might bear much fruit. What is happening, church? Love is performing its ultimate function as it reaches across the chasm of unbelief. Let me say again. Love is performing its ultimate function as it reaches across the chasm of unbelief. Love is performing its ultimate function as it reaches across the chasm of unbelief. Amen. maybe God's initiative in your life, you keep bumping into those Christians all the time. Why do I have a Christian at my workplace? Why does my cousin keep talking about God? My grandparents, I tell you, they've been praying for me for a long time. That university friend keeps talking to me about Jesus. Maybe that's the love of God reaching across the chasm to pull you into His purposes. Can you say amen? Amen. Maybe for you, just being in the presence of God today and experiencing worship, there's been a softening in your heart. That's the grace of God. That's the love of God. That's the goodness of God. God, the initiator, reaching out to you. Maybe for you, you're experiencing that love reaching across the chasm because deep down in your heart, there's an inward desire to experience and to feel His love. Can you say amen? There is no other love like the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other love that floods our heart and fills our hearts and satisfies our hearts, satisfies that inward desire like the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today you find yourself located over here, but God's drawing you to this location. He's doing it because He cares about you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. And He wants to give you a brand new start. Can you say amen? Amen. This is what we're going to do.